Okay, so this week we're just going to be doing different sugyas in Masechet Sanhedrin that were not covered in the third or eighth parak of Masechet Sanhedrin, and perhaps the most simplest, most fundamental sugya that we should have been discussing, we should have discussed the very first day, is Masechet Sanhedrin is first and foremost about Sanhedrin. So we have to discuss Dayanim. We never discussed actually what makes someone worthy to be a Dayan, what makes someone unworthy to be a Dayan, what are the halachos of Dayanim. So the Torah in Sefer Devarim, in Parshas Devarim actually, Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vatzava Eshavtechem Be'isa Yilemar, Shema Ben Achechem Ushvatam Tzedek Ben Ishu Ben Achiv Uben Gero, that Ushvatam Tzedek, you should judge with righteousness. Zot Yerachayim HaKadosh, on the Pasuk, you should judge with righteousness, in the first source in the packets, Od Niskavin, he gives several pshatim what it means, Od Niskavin El Derech Omrim V'Mesechus Machos Mishnah B'Sof Perek Aleph. The Mishnah at the end of the first paragraph of Maseches Makos Davavim Beis tells us, Shalotia Sanhedrin Shoma'as Mipi Maturgaman, that the Sanhedrin should not hear the arguments from a Maturgaman, V'ormu Shema Ben Achechem V'lo Me'a Maturgaman, that you have to hear from the Balei Din themselves, you shouldn't hear it through a translator, you shouldn't hear from a Maturgaman. That's what it means, that Ushvatem Tzedek Bein Ish U'Bein Achiv, that when there's a case between a man and his brother, Bein Achechem, between your brothers, you have to hear it directly from them. It should not be through a translator. Now, this is a little bit difficult because that Mishnah in Maseches Makos is not talking about hearing the tainas of the Balei Din. The Mishnah Maseches Makos is actually talking about hearing the edus from a Maturgaman. That when Edim come to Beis Din and they tell you what they've seen, you can't hear it through translation, you have to hear it directly from the Edim themselves. So it's a little bit strange that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh uses this pasuk to use that Mishnah to shed light on this pasuk. This pasuk is about the Balei Din, this pasuk is not about the Edim, and the Mishnah is about the Edim, it's not about the Balei Din. So the truth is, this idea that you're not allowed to hear Mipia Maturgaman, the idea that it could apply not only to the Edom but to the Balei Din as well, is already found in the Rambam. That it's true by Balei Din. The Rambam in Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Ches of Hilchos Sanhedrin, Lo Yia Hadayin Shomea Mipia Maturgaman, Ela Im Kein Hayamakir Lashon Balei Dinin Vishomea Tainosehem. A Dayan should not hear from the Maturgaman. So what are we talking about over here? Are we talking about the Eidos, or are we talking about the words of the Balei Din? So the Rambam is very clear. Unless you know the language that the Balei Din are speaking also, and it just might add a little clarity to have a Maturgaman. But you have to at least understand the language that the Balei Din are hearing, that the Balei Din are speaking. If your entire knowledge of the Balei Din's claims and arguments are only from a Maturgaman, then something is wrong. So even though the Mishnah of Makos only spoke about Edim, that you're not allowed to hear Edos from a Maturgaman, the Rambam himself already very clearly relates this to the Balei Din. So this requires further analysis. Why is this so? If the Mishnah talks about Edim, why is it so that Balei Din also you're not allowed to hear from a Maturgaman? So it may depend on what this whole reason for not being able to hear from a Maturgaman in the first place is. Why is it that that the Mishnah Makos Davav tells us that you're not allowed to that Dayanim can't hear Eidos from a Maturgaman? And maybe if we understand the reason that you can't hear Eidos from a Maturgaman, we'll have a better understanding of whether this should also apply equally to hearing from the claims of the Balei Din from the Maturgaman, right? Just given that perspective of knowing the reason behind this halacha, we'll know where to apply this halacha. Should it apply only to Edom, or should it apply to Balei Din as well? So Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher and Devarim, Siman Aleph, writes that the Nimuke Yosef in Maseches Makos gives two reasons for this halacha. Number one, the Nimuke Yosef writes on the spot of Maseches Makos, and you're getting a chance to look up that Nimuke Yosef. I didn't print it out because it's not on the Bar Ilan CD. I don't think it is, at least. But Nimuke Yosef writes, number one, Shema Yachlif HaTorgaman B'Lashon HaEdus. What does that mean? Yachlif HaTorgaman B'Lashon HaEdus means he'll mess up the translation. The guy will be saying one thing and he'll be translating something else. You know, it's like the one of the Mepharshim says by Yosef HaTzadik that I saw once. I thought it was a great pshat in the whole story with Yosef and his brothers. That the whole time Yosef and his brothers are arguing back and forth when Yosef is viceroy in Mitzrayim, till finally Vayigash Elav Yehuda, And Rashi says, Yehuda got rid of the Meturgaman. He said, get the Meturgaman out of here. We're going to talk mano a mano. We're going to talk, one-on-one. And if you can, kikamocha kiparo. And don't tell me you don't understand, you're not going to be able to understand me, because kamocha kiparo, in order to be a pharaoh in Egypt, you need to speak every language, so there's no way you don't understand me. The Meturgaman maybe helps clarify, but you have to understand what I'm speaking. So someone once explained that pshat is that Yehuda figured it was all one big miscommunication. He figured the Meturgaman was messing up, either on purpose or just because he was a moron. He assumed that there's no way Yosef was hearing what they were saying and reacting the way he was. Because if you look at the actual conversations, they don't make any sense. Yehuda comes and says, they walk in, and Yosef says, you're meraglim. You're meraglim atem. You're coming to spy the land. And they say, no, we're not meraglim. We're really brothers, sons of the same father, and we lost our brother years ago, so we're a little neurotic about coming all together. But we're not meraglim. We're really just here for food. And he says, that's exactly what I said. Meraglim atem. What do you mean? That's exactly what I said, Meraglim Atem. He didn't even respond to their claims. He didn't even, he didn't even say that they're lying. Nothing. It's exactly what I said, Meraglim Atem. And it goes back and forth like that for a while. So Yehuda must have realized, wait a second, the Meturgaman, either this guy's a moron, and he can't be a moron because he's viceroy over all of Mitzrayim and he saved all of humanity by saving up all this food to save everybody from this famine, or the Meturgaman is messing up and he has no idea what we're actually saying. So Yehuda says, I think it's time that we just communicate directly, because things get lost in translation. So Nebuchadnezzar Yosef says, pshat number one, why you can't hear from a Meturgaman? Things get lost in translation. Sometimes things aren't translated properly. Pshat number two, kishe yishmu heim mipi ha'edim, yitachen lehem lachkar osam yoser. That when you hear from the witnesses themselves, you know how to ask proper follow-up questions. But you're not going to be able to ask proper follow-up questions when you're only hearing a translation of the testimony. So it's like Mashal Ma Davar Doma. If you ever watch an interview with a foreign athlete after a game that he excelled in, after like a baseball game, you ever saw, I remember those painful post-game interviews with Hideki Matsui, and like they would ask him a question, then you'd hear the translator speak for like 10 minutes, and Hideki Matsui would speak for like 10 minutes and then the translator would say yes. Like that was the translation of his whole diatribe. Like, I think something might be lost there. But not only something might be lost there, like you don't even know how to ask a follow-up question because it's just so tedious and it's so, and it's hard to read expressions when you don't know what the words mean that are accompanied by the expressions. So they're just not going to be able to be choker the edim. They're not going to be able to ask follow-up questions properly. That's a second pshat Nebuka Yosef has as to why it is that you can't hear from a Meturgaman. Third, Rashi Masech Sanhedrin Daf Yizayin Amar Aleph. Rashi writes over here. We have it in the packets. We hear Meturgaman. Kishabon Eidei Lozim Lahayid Bifneihem Lo Yitzarchu Lahamin Melitzim Bneihem Dehavalei Eid Mipi Eid. What's the problem with hearing from Meturgaman? That it becomes like Eid Mipi Eid. That the halacha is what's Eid Mipi Eid. There's an English word for it. Hearsay. Right, that I didn't see it. I don't know what I'm testifying about. But someone told me that he saw that this happened. So that's inadmissible in the Jewish court. You cannot have hearsay. This Rashi is, so now we already have a major nafkamina. Whether, should this din of not hearing from a Meturgaman, should it apply to the Balei Din? So, l'chora, it depends whether you hold like Muke Yosef, either of his Peshatim, or you hold like Rashi. If the whole problem is a psul in Eid Mipi Eid, so that's a din in Eidos. But that's not a din in Balei Din. There's no din of Eid Mipi Eid from Balei Din. It's a din in Eidos, that you can't say Eidos if it's only hearsay, if you're not the one that actually witnessed. But there's no such din in Balei Din, that Balei Din can't say whatever their claims are. It doesn't have to be, there's no psul of Eid Mipi Eid. But if the concern is that we're not going to fully understand them, or that we're not going to know how to investigate by asking proper follow-up questions, well, that is an equal concern by Balei Din as it is by the Eidim. In fact, it might even be a greater concern by the Balei Din and the Eidim. We need to see. Dayanim need to see their faces, need to see how sincere they are, need to see what they mean, need to be able to tell things from their tone, from the inflection, from the choice of words that they use. And they can't do that if it's all happening through Mitorgaman. So according to Mukhe Yosef, we understand that that this din should apply equally to Mitorgaman. So the Shita Saramba makes sense, the Shita Sarachayim HaKadosh makes sense, but according to Rashi, it doesn't seem to apply to Mitorgaman at all. It seems like it should only apply to the Edim and not to the Mitorgaman. Now, within the Nimukei Yosef, we have two possibilities. Either they're not going to, the translation may be off, something might be wrong with the translation, or they're not going to be able to be choker properly. Now, Edim, we know there's Drisha v'chakira. You need to ask a lot of questions to the Edim. And certainly, when someone comes into Basin and tells something to the Dayanim, they need to understand it. So we certainly know that the Dayanim need to be able to understand the Balei Din. So if you have like the first sheet in the Nimukei Yosef, that something's going to be mistranslated, you understand that clearly has to apply to the Balei Din as well. What about the second concern in the Nimukei Yosef? Nimukei Yosef's second concern, that we're not going to be able to be choker. Is there a din of chakira on the Balei Din? Do I need to be choker the Balei Din? So the Rambam in Toy Vinitan, Paragvav, Halach Aleph, in fact says yes. Beis Din tells the Balei Din that they need to be Mevayer, that we're not going to read the whole Rambam, but Beis Din tells the Balei Din that they need to be Mevayer very clearly, they need to clarify exactly what their Tainas are. So it works very well that according to both Shitos and the Nimukei Yosef, we understand that this din of Mipiyom and Torgumon is going to apply to Balei Din the same way it applies to Edim. According to Rashi, it will not apply to Balei Din the same way it applies to Edim. But then there are two other Shitos as to what the problem is with hearing from a Mitorgaman. Rabbeinu Hillel, Rav Asher Weiss quotes Rabbeinu Hillel in his Perish on the Sefri, in Parsha Shoftim, Parsha Kuf Peches, Os Yud Tes, writes that the Mitorgaman is like an Eid Echad. And you need Shnei Eidim. Meaning, let's say two Eidim come to court, and they both speak only Spanish, and you don't understand, the Dayanim don't understand a word of Spanish, so how many translators do you get? You get one translator. So that one translator is going to translate for both of the Edim. So what does Beis Din hear from? Beis Din only hears from one Eid. They only hear from one person. They only hear from the translator. So that's an Eid Echad, and we need two Edim. According to Rabbeinu Hillel, it would come out, if we hire two translators, everything should be fine. Which is a Chiddush Gadol, say something like that. Two translators is going to be fine, one translator is not going to be fine. The Tzad HaShava between Rashi and Rabbeinu Hillel is that according to both Rashi and Rabbeinu Hillel, the Torgaman takes on the status of an aid. Right, what was Rashi's concern? That it's going to be aid mipiaid. Why is it aid mipiaid? It's not hearsay. The aidim actually did see it. The Torgaman is just translating what the aidim are saying. So Rashi says, no, the Torgaman becomes the aid. And his full knowledge is from what the aidim are telling him. But it's the person that the Beis Din understands is the aid, has the status of the aid in Beis Din. That's how Rashi understands. Rabbeinu Hillel apparently understands the same way. That since the person who Beis Din understands is the aid, if there's only one translator for two Balei Din, or for two Edim rather, that one translator becomes the one aid. That's why you have the Chisaron of Eid Echad, and you have the Chisaron of Eid Mipi Eid. Mukhe Yosef apparently holds that the Torgaman is not an aid. The Edim are the Edim. The Edim stand in front of Beis Din. They are made standing right there in front of the Dayanim. They are the Edim. The Mitorgaman is a gili milsa on what the Edim are saying. It's able to be megalitas what the Edim are saying. But it's not, they're not the Edim. They enable us to hear the Edim. It's like if the Dayan needs a hearing aid. So is the hearing aid the aid? No, the hearing aid isn't the witness. The Edim are the witness. The hearing aid is a gili milsa on what the Edim are actually saying, because he doesn't hear them without the microphone and the hearing aid or whatever. That's a gili milsa on what the Edim are saying. But it doesn't take on the status of the aid. Rabbeinu Hillel is very difficult, because if you're going to say in Lamdas that the Mitorgaman has a din of an aid, so why does he need to come on to the Eid Echad problem? Rashi's problem is such a bigger problem. Just the fact that it's Eid Mipi Eid is such a bigger problem. Why would you need to say, oh, it only has status of an Eid Echad, which would then mean if you have two of them, it would be fine? No, it wouldn't. Meaning, according to your lumdus, that the Mitorgaman takes on the status of an aid, having two won't help, because it would still be an Eid Mipi Eid. So you have to say for Rabbeinu Hillel is, that even though he has the status of an aid, the Mitorgaman has the status of an aid and not a gili milsa, the psul of aid mipi aid won't apply to him, because the aidim arishonim are also there in front of Beis Din, and are also being nechkar al yedei the Mitorgaman. So what's the weakness in aid mipi aid? What's the weakness in aid mipi aid? Why can't you accept hearsay as aidless in Beis Din? because how are you going to ask any follow-up questions? So-and-so told me this. Okay, and what about what color shirt was he wearing, what angle? And I don't know, he told me, I told you what he told me, but I didn't see anything. I can't answer any follow-up questions. But if the Edom are actually in Beis Din, and you can ask follow-up questions. So even if the Meturgeman has the status of an aid, you can still ask follow-up questions. Why? Because what could he do? He'll just turn to the aid and say, they want to know what angle was the sun coming in at, or whatever. And they'll tell him, and he'll be able to be made again. So Rabbi Hill's going to say, you're not going to have a problem of aid mipi aid over here. What will you have a problem? Aid echad. If it's one Meturgeman for two aid, then you have a problem of aid echad. But if you solve that problem, you get two separate Meturgamanim, that's fine. So fundamentally, just fundamentally, Nemuke Yosef views it differently than Rashi and Rabbeinu Hillel. Rashi and Rabbeinu Hillel both view the Meturgaman is the aid. Nemuke Yosef views the Meturgaman as the hearing aid, as the microphone. Right? The Gili Milsa, but not the aid itself. Yeah.
How would even Dolman work in that case?
Oh, good. So, next Shita. Is the sheet of the Radvaz. Radvaz and Chel Galv, Sim Shin Lamed Gimel, writes, and this is the fifth and final sheet as to why it is that you can't hear from a Meturgaman. Says the reason why Edom that are made al Yidei Meturgaman is no good is because it's Edos Shiat Yach Lazima. Why? The aid can always say, I don't know what they told you I said, but I didn't say that. So it's sort of like the Nemuke Yosef, they may mess up the translation, but not just they may mess up the translation, therefore we're getting the story wrong. It's that, by definition, there's a psul in the Eidos. It's Eidos Shiat Yach Lazima, because the original Edom could say, we never said that. They always have the out to say that this was all mistranslated. And therefore, says the Radvaz, this is only by Bali Din. This Din is not by Bali Din. Right? According to the Radvaz, this should only apply to Edom. Because by Bali Din, there's no requirement of Ati Yach Lazima. So where it's similar to the Nemuke Yosef in that it reflects a concern of a mistranslation, Nemuke Yosef would say, yeah, because of that concern, we never understand the Bali Din, and therefore even the Bali Din can't say anything about the Meturgaman. But the Radvaz says explicitly, yes, the Bali Din can say Al Pi HaMeturgaman, because the problem is not that we're choshesh for a mistranslation. We don't think anyone's actually going to mistranslate. But since it's possible to mistranslate, the aid always has an excuse and will become Eid Shiat Yach Lazima. But the Bali Din, they could say, yeah, we never said that, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be Eid Shiat Yach Lazima for Bali Din. Bali Din don't have to be Bali Dinim Shiat Yach Lazima. And even by Dine Mamanis, where there's a machlokas achronim, whether you need Eidos Shatiach Lazima, Nod Bihuda in Madura Kama, Ebenezer Simonai in Beis, disagrees with the Shach and Simon Lamed Gimel Sivkat and Tezayin about Dine Mamanis, whether you need Eidos Shatiach Lazima. So, L'chora, if you hold that you don't need Eidos Shatiach Lazima for Dine Mamanis, according to Rav Vaza, would turn out, you could have a Meturgaman even for the Edim Adinim Amnes, because you don't need the Shatiach Lazima. So Radvaz, does he view the Meturgaman as the aid? No. He views the Meturgaman as the earpiece. He's not the aid. But it has to be the Shatiach Lazima. So in those cases where the Shatiach Lazima is a concern, that's when a Meturgaman is a concern. So according to Rashi, according to Rabbeinu Hillel, and according to Radvaz, this concern of Meturgaman is only Shaykh by Edim and not by Bali Din. But according to the Nemuke Yosef's two reasons, it's Shaykh even by Bali Din, like the sheet of the Rambam, like the sheet of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So have we successfully defended the Rambam and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh? Yes, as long as they hold like the Nemuke Yosef. Now, one complicating factor, Rashi is sosir himself a little bit. Because in Sanhedrin, we said, why does Rashi hold in Sanhedrin that you have a problem of a Meturgaman, because it's going to be aid me pi aid. In Menachos Tav Samachay Amar Aleph, Rashi writes, you can't hear from a Meturgaman Shema Yachlif Taino Sehem. And maybe he'll mess up, and he'll tell you the wrong thing. Ooh, that's very different. He'll mess up and tell you the wrong thing. That's exactly what who said? That's in Mukhe Yosef, right? So he says Rav Asher, I don't think it's a stira in Rashi. Rather, there's tzvei dinim in Rashi. There's the words of the Edim, which you can't hear from the Meturgaman, me'ikra din edos, because it's eid mipi eid. But Rashi says, in addition to that, you can't even hear from the Balei Din through a Meturgaman, lest he mess up. I mean, by Eidim, not hearing from a Meturgaman is a more fundamental din. That it's a psul in the Eidos. By Balei Din, it's a practical halacha. I can't hear from a Meturgaman because I'm afraid he's going to mistranslate. That's the simpleness of Rashi, saying that both dinim are true. It would turn out, therefore, that even according to Rashi, you can't hear from a Meturgaman. So now it's not just Nemuka Yosef. It's Nemuka Yosef and Rashi who both say that you're not allowed to hear from the Balei Din through Meturgaman either. That it's not just the Din of the Eidim, it's the Din of the Balei Din. Who says it's only the Din of the Eidim? That's the Radvaz, that's the Rabbeinu Hillel, but everybody else, Rashi in the two days of Nemuka Yosef, and the Rambam, and the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, would all say that even from Balei Din, you're not allowed to hear from a Meturgaman. Good, that's Aleph. That's part one. The Torah says losakir panim b'mishpat. You're not allowed to recognize faces in justice. So the way Chazal understand this mitzvah is we're not talking about Beis Din that is Yoshev Bedin, that they should not be makir panim b'mishpat. We're not talking about a Beis Din per se, because that's already included in Ushvat Tem Tzedek, that a Beis Din has to judge righteously. Over here we're talking about someone who is in charge of appointing Dayanim. Not a Beis Din dealing with litigants in front of them, not to be makir panim, not to show favoritism to one over the other. That's obvious. That we already know. B'tzedek tishpot. Lo sakir panim b'mishpat means if you're on the committee that chooses dayanim, lo sakir panim, to get someone to be a dayan. Make sure that he's actually qualified. And that's explicit in the Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvos, in Lo sase reish ayin hei, zok the Rambam, a mitzvah hareish ayin hei, he shehizhir hadayan shelo lechabed echad mibalei din in binyan hadin, vafilu hu gadol v'nichbad v'nasu panim, lo yazbi lo panim hadayan k'shiyav lefanav, im baldino, v'lo yishal b'inyana v'sipurav, amri yisalu lo ta'ad p'nei gadol, u'b'sifra lo tomar, shelo tomar ashir huze, b'ina gadolim huze, eicha v'ayshenu v'era b'bushas v'alachs kama shenu v'ayshal. It actually says different. The Rambam says Sefer Mitzvos is right. It's about Ushvat is. What pasuk does he quote? Lo sahadir pnei gadol. That Rambam is about when two litigants come in front of you that you shouldn't favor. The rich one over the poor one, the guy you know. Like when your friend comes in, if you're a dayan and two people come in and one of them is a friend, don't start saying, oh, how's the wife? How are the kids? That's very unprofessional and wrong and usher to do. But apparently Chazal understood that there's an additional level of interpretation here. Of losakir panim b'mishpat means that when appointing a dayan, we have to appoint a dayan who's actually qualified. The Rambam Paragimel Milch Sanhedrin Alach Ches writes, Kol Sanhedrin Omelech Rosh Gola Shemidulam Yisrael Dayan She'eno Hagun Ve'eno Chacham B'Chachmas HaTorah. Let's say you're the president and you get to nominate a Supreme Court Justice. You are the Nasi, you're the Melech, you're the Sanhedrin. You get to nominate who else is going to serve as a Dayan, and you nominate someone who's a Dayan She'eno Hagun Ve'eno Chacham B'Chachmas HaTorah and is not a Chacham in the wisdom of Torah, V'roi Lios Dayan, and is not Ro'i to be a Dayan, Afal Pishu Kulam Achmadim, even though he's such a sweet guy and he's got so many great qualities and he's bright and he's this and he's that, you violate Lo Sasei Lo Sakiru Panim B'Mishpat. And Mechaber Paskins way in Shulchan Aruch Simen Ches Sif Aleph Mechaber Paskins Kolamam Dayan She'eno Hagun Ve'eno Chacham B'Chachmas HaTorah Vein a royal lios dayin, afal pi shu kul machmadim yesh batovos acheros, hare zesh haemido over blosase. It's a violation of a losase mida or raisa to appoint someone who is not worthy to be a judge to serve as a judge. Now, look at the lashon of the Mechaber and the lashon of the Rambam. You appoint who? A dayin she'eno hagun ve'eno chacham b'chachmas haTorah. So we're pretty sure we know what that second phrase means. Eino chacham b'chachmas haTorah means. He's not a Talmud Chacham. What does Eino Hagun mean? You appointed a Dayan who's Eino Hagun. So this is a machlokas between the Bach and the Sma. If you look in the Sma, printed out on the sheets, Ayin Prisha Shekhsafti, Dinir muchach shahai vav ve'eno chacham hu vav hacholekes. V'tarti ka'amer. Hein shema medayin she'eno hagun b'maisim, afshu talmud chacham, o she'eno talmud chacham afshu hagun b'maisim. K'ma shemasim kasav afilu kolim achmadim. Says, what I would have thought, Pasha Pshat, that the Rambam, the Mechaber, are telling us two different problems. You can't have a dayan who is eno hagun, nor can you have a dayan who is not a Talmud Chacham. Two different dinim. What does eno hagun mean? He's missing out some of the other qualities that a dayan needs. The midos, the shomer Torah mitzvos. He could be a great Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't have the other qualities, so that's eno hagun. The Bach understands differently. The Bach says, now, eno hagun, what does eno hagun mean? She eno chacham v'chachmas haTorah. It shouldn't even be a vid. Right? It's not a vav acholekes. It's not a vav to tell you two different people. He's eno hagun because he's not a chacham v'chachmas haTorah. It's perushe kamefaresh. The Rambam is explaining what he means by eno hagun. The Rambam in Perek Beis v'Hilchos Sanhedrin Halacha Zayin writes that every dayan, even in Beis Shel Gimel, that's dan dinim amanus, needs to have seven qualities. Right? If you look at that Rambam. Beis Shel Shlosha, afa bishen medakt gimen b'chalelu advarim, tzarek shei b'kal echad mehen shiva dvarim. You don't need a million qualities to serve on a little Beis of three, but you need seven qualities. What are these qualities? Ve'elu hein, chachma, v'anava, v'yira, v'sinas mamon, v'ahavas ha'emes, va'avas abrios lehen. Avas abrios lehen, what does that mean? Avas abrios means to love other people. Avas abrios lehen means other people have to love you. Right? He has to be popular. Ubali shem tov, and have a good reputation. There are some people that are popular that have a terrible reputation. They have a reputation of being terrible people, and that's what makes them so intriguing. And everyone likes to, they have a million Twitter followers because everyone wants to see what they're going to say next. It's going to. V'kalelu advar mufrashin in b'Torah. All these things are explicit in the Torah that dayanim need to have all these things. And a dayan uzeinu hagun means, therefore, if you say like the Sma, what's a dayan sheinu hagun? He's a chachma chachmas haTorah, but he's, let's say, he loves money, or people don't like him, or he has a bad reputation. Or anything like that. He doesn't have the proper Yerushalayim. He's not humble. He's a little gaivadik. All of these things would be a dayan she'eino hagun. And the truth is, the raya to the sma, that there are two separate dinim over here, is another passage in the Rambam. The Rambam Perek Dalet, Halacha Tazvav, writes, Mi she'eino roi lodun mipnei she'eino yodeya, o mipnei she'eino hagun, she'avar rosh galus v'nasan lo rishus, o she'tao beizdin v'nasan lo rishus, leaving out exactly what the halacha is over there, what we're talking about, what the context is, what does he say? Who are we talking about? Someone who's Eino Roy Ladin Mipnei She'eino Yodea? Oh! Mipnei She'eino Hagun. There's no. A letter Vav, you could argue all day what it means. It's Vav HaCholek, it doesn't mean O, it doesn't mean that. The word O, we know what it means. O means or. So I'm like, clearly two different people. Who are the two different people? Either he's Eino Yodea, which means he's not a Talmud Chacham, or he's Eino Hagun, which means he's lacking one of the other qualities that are necessary. So it seems very clear that these are separate Isurim. There's a beautiful comment the Marik has in his Tshuvas in Shorash Kuf Yud Zayin. The Marik says that there are two different Mamari Chazal about appointing a Dayan, the Sheino Hagun. If a person is Mamed, a Dayan Sheino Hagun, to be on the Beis Din, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin Dav Zayin on Beis says it's Ki'ilu Notea Ashera. It's as if you planted an Ashera tree when you appoint a Dayan Sheino Hagun. And the Rambam in Paragimel Halacha Ches writes that it's Kimamid Matseva. Now, probably the Rambam got it from some Maimur Chazal. We just don't know which. The Kesef Mishnah says he didn't find any Maimur Chazal like that. But not Kiilu Nata Asherah, but Kiilu Mamid Matseva. Says the Ma'arik, we just said two dinim in a dayan who's no good. What are the two dinim? You could have a dayan who's not smart enough, doesn't know enough Torah. On the other end, you could have a dayan who has bad midos, right? Who has bad character. So he says, when you have a dayan who's nama aretz, that's kimamid matseva. What's a matseva? It's a rock. It's an even domain. It doesn't do anything. It's not bad, it's just nothing. It's a blank. A dayan who's not ma'aretz is a good guy, sincere, anava, yirascheit, all the rest. He just doesn't know dinei Torah. So he's a blank. But a dayan sheino hagun b'mitzvosav, a dayan who doesn't have proper midos, that's like an asherah. It gives peros. There's a lot of beautiful peros coming out, a lot of wonderful divrei Torah that come from him. But he's sono yomashukatz. He's hated and abominable. Disgusting. Those tzvei dinim, these two dinim of that the Sma refers to, that the way he reads the Rambam, eino hagun and eino chacham v'chachmas haTorah, find expression in the two ways Chazal formulate the isser of being mamon adayin sheino hagun. Now it should be noted, I think we may have pointed out in the past, that Chazal are actually a little more detailed when they say that it's ki'ilu notei asherah, that it's as if you plant an asherah tree. The Gemara Sanhedrin actually says that when you're mamon adayin sheino hagun, it's as if you planted an asherah eitzel mizbach Hashem. It's as if you planted an asherah next to the mizbeach. Now, of all the things it could be like, giving a guy a job as a dayan when he's not qualified, when he's, let's say, ohev mamon, he takes bribes, right? Giving someone a job like that as a dayan, why is it like planting an asherah next to the mizbeach? I would think it's like appointing a melech who's not qualified. I don't know, something a little closer. Why is it like planting an asherah eitzel mizbeach? Meshech Chachma has the most beautiful interpretation. Meshech Chachma points out that the very notion of mizbeach, the very notion of why we have a mizbeach and why we bring korbanos, is something that's very easy to get confused about. You know, we see that God tells us, bring all these animals, sacrifice them, burn them up on the mizbeach. Why? So logical mind says, God wants them. God wants these animals. I am bringing him a gift, and it makes him feel better when I bring him a gift. Right? That's what Reach Nicholach is. It's a pleasant aroma to him. I'm doing for him. Says the Meshech Chachma, that's Epicurus. God doesn't need us. God doesn't, he's fine without us. He does not require any assistance from us. Why do we bring korbanos? For ourselves. We need to bring korbanos. It's a Reach Nicholach because he's happy to see that we're fulfilling our potential. That we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And in order to symbolize God's absolute independence and how unnecessary it is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take anything from us, by the Mizbeach, the actual Mizbeach has to be built purely out of stone, no wood, because stone is domain, it's independent. Nothing happens to it. You leave it, it stays. Doesn't grow, doesn't need anything. Doesn't need nourishment, doesn't need sunlight, doesn't need water. Eitz requires sunlight, requires water, needs to be nourished, needs to be nurtured in order to turn into something. The Gemara Darshan's kol eitz means it's not only an asherah tree. Any eitz you can't have near the Mizbeach. Because there's never this concept of anything that needs nurturing by the Mizbeach. Why Dafka pick out Asherah? So Meshech Chachma points out that Chazal tell us every shame we have for an Avodah Zarah is really a derogatory nickname for the Avodah Zarah. It's not what it was really called. Asherah, how does it get its name Asherah? Shemis Asheres Me'acherim. It's our way of mocking the Asherah when we say that it needs to be nourished from others. It's not independent. So don't plant an eitz, which is the very idea of Asherah, that it requires nourishment, it requires chizuk, anywhere near the Mizbeach. Today's Daf Yomi, Maseches Tamid Daf Chav Ches, we discussed how there was an achsadra in the Azara. An achsadra means that there's like a porch with a roof over it and pillars going down, columns going down. So the Gemara asks, how could you have columns? They make those out of wood. They're not allowed in the Azara. You're not allowed to have any wood in the Azara. Such a halacha. Not just right next to the Mizbeach, not just the Mizbeach can be made out of it. Wood can't be there in the structure of the Azara. Now obviously there's wood on the Mizbeach to burn fires, but in the structure of the Azara, it can't be made out of wood. So you're not allowed to have anything wood in the structure of the Azara. Because where there's independence, there can't be anything that symbolizes dependence. What is the number one quality a judge needs? Of all the things that a judge needs in order to judge fairly, he needs to be independent. If he needs money, he can be bribed. if he depends on other people for his kavod, he lacks self-confidence, and someone's going to give him kavod, and that's going to mean something to him, his judgment's going to be totally messed up. He has to be self-confident, independent, not need other people, enjoy a sterling reputation where one guy who gets mad at him isn't going to change anything, because everyone knows that he's got a good reputation. He doesn't need these people that are standing in front of him for din. He doesn't need them for his own self. He needs to be independent. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, you establish a dayan she'eino hagun, a dayan who doesn't deserve to be a dayan, someone who's not independent, someone who needs money, someone who's going to take a bribe. You know what it's like? You took that which was supposed to be independent, the mizbeach, the dayan, and you put the idea of asherah right there, that which is misasheres me'acherim, that which needs nourishment from others. Beautiful meshech chachma. Beautiful insight into the nature of a dayan. But anyway, this Marik just defines it and divides it up a little bit more, and just points out that that the idea of matseva is the am ha'aretz. It's not someone who has bad midos. A little bit factor, another issue. There is a machlokas in the Achronim. If by a Beis Din there is the rule of nimtza echad me'am karav apostle. Right, we know by Eidim, there's a halacha. If you have a group of Eidim, the Gemara in Maseches Makos Darshins, please Shnayim Eidim or Shlosha Eidim Yakum Davar. So the Gemara says, Im Shnayim Lamli Shlosha. Right, if you have two Eidim, if two Eidim is enough, why does it have to tell me three Eidim? That I need three Eidim. So the Gemara says, no, we make a comparison between Shnayim and Shlosha. That just like if you have Shnei Eidim and one of them turns out to be a Karav or Apostle, the whole Eidus is Batel. The Eidus is worthless. Why? Because then you don't have two Eidim anymore. So too, if you have a cat, a group, a set of three Eidim, and one of them turns out to be a Karav or Apostle, the whole Eidus is Batel. That's what we learned. Nim Tzachrim Karav Apostle Eidus and Batela. Do we have the same din by Dayanim? Do we say Nim Tzachrim Karav Apostle Eidus and Batela? So the Ketzos in Siman Lamed Vav, Sivkat and Zayin, tries to prove that by Dayanim there is no din of Nim Tzachrim Karav Apostle Eidus and Batela, based on the Gemara Sanhedrin of Gimel Amud Aleph. Gemara Sanhedrin says, "Amar Racha Breder Blazim Midar Raisa Chad Nami Kasher Midar Raisa." All you need is one good dayan. Why do we require three dayanim? It's a takana to have three dayanim by Dini Mamunus because of Yoshe Kronos, whatever that means. Some concern of Yoshe Kronos, but in reality, let's assume just the concern of Yoshe Kronos is that you're not going to have qualified dayanim. But if you take three people to sit on a base, then chances are at least one of them is going to be qualified. So in the end of the day, what do you really need? You only need one qualified dayan. The other two could be Yoshe Kronos. You only really need one qualified dayan. So it says, but when you have three people, you have Shadlas Muchad Degamir. At least there will be one guy who knows what he's talking about. So if by dayanim we had a din of an imsech and imkar of a pasul, then he'd do some retela. So then what are the chacham helping by making this takan of having three dayanim? Yeah, you know you'll have at least one that knows what he's doing, but as long as there's at least one that's a Yoshe Kronos, it should ruin the whole Beis Din. So says the Ketzos, you see that there is no such din of Nimtzach Nim Karav Apostle when it comes to Dayanim. The whole din of Nimtzach Nim Karav Apostle is only when it comes to Eidim. The Nesivus rejects this Raya. He says, no. Nama Aretz, Yoshe Kronos is Nama Aretz. It's not a Dayanus Apostle. It's someone who's not a Dayan. A Dayan who's possible is someone who knows the laws. He graduated Dayan school. He knows all there is to know about Dayanus. He also happens to love money and not have Yerushalayim and be arrogant. And that's a Dayan possible. He has all those qualities that possible him. That's a Dayan possible. Someone who doesn't know anything, it's not a Dayan possible. It's not a Dayan. It's not Maritz, Yoshe Kronos, not a Dayan at all. When do we say Nimtzach and Me'am Karav Apostle Eidus and Betela? When do we say it by Eidus? When you have an Eid Apostle, you say the Eidus of all them is Bata. Let's say you have a group of Eidim where you have, let's say, five people. Four of them are adults and honest and good, and one of them is a child. So you say Eidus and Betela? Says the Nesivus, no. Katan's not an Apostle Eid. He's not an Eid. Apostle Eid is someone who's biased, someone who's dishonest, a ganav, a mesachik bekuvia. A katan? It's not an aid. It doesn't have the very basic qualifications to be an aid. Nim tzeichem neim karav apostle, Eidus and Betela, is if one of the aidin is a karav apostle. Edus and Betela. Rikiv Eger in his Chuvas in Seminai and Gimel and Hashmato says that even if there's a katan, say Edus and Betela, the whole Edus is going to be batel. But still, it could be Yoshe Kranos, Legabe Bezdin, is worse than a katan, Legabe Edus. Because someone who doesn't know any halachos is not. He can't even do the actions that a dayan does. Saying a katan, he has a psul in his age, but he can. What is an aide supposed to do? He reports what he saw. A katan can report what he saw. So even if Rabbi Akiva wants to argue, a katan is an aide possible. That's because he can do edus. It's just going to be possible. The halacha says he's not 13, so it's going to be possible. But an Amar Aretz can't do dayanus. It's like asking me to do surgery. I can't even approximate it. I can't do something that looks like surgery. It will look like murder. It won't look like surgery. I can't approximate something like that. So a guy who's an Amar Aretz can't approximate dayanus. It's not something one can accomplish. So it could be that even if you hold like Rabbi Kiveger, that a katan does have a shame aid, and Amaritz doesn't. Where does all this come from? The difference between a shame aid versus not being an aid at all? I think we had this, I think I mentioned this the first shir of the year. We had like a shir psicha. So I think I mentioned this. It comes from the Sugya Makos, Tavav. The Sugya Makos says, Nimtzachim Karv Apostle Edus Metela. So says the Gemara, you should never be able to convict somebody of murder. Why? Because every time there's a murder, there's someone who is a karov to the victim or the perpetrator there. Who? The victim and the perpetrator. They're always there. So one of the people who witnessed the event was a karov or apostle. So first thing I says, well, the victim saw it. Now maybe he got him from behind, so he didn't see it. So he wouldn't have been a good aid. Okay, but the horeg, the murderer saw it. Edus betela, nimsechem rem karov apostle. Right? The whole aid should be batel. Says the Gemara, no, the horeg doesn't count. Why? B'mekayme davar. Says, b'mekayme davar akas medaber. V'lo ba'ose davar. That who's going to be a karav apostle that's going to ruin the edus? With the mekayme davar, not the ose hadavar. What does that mean? So Rashi writes over there, in the Rosh, in the name of the Ravid, that a baldin doesn't have a shame aid. A baldin, he's one of the guys involved. Edom are people who see it from the outside. A baldin is someone who's from the inside. So it's not that he's puzzle as an aid. He's not an aid. An aid means someone who witnesses the event from the outside. So that forms the backbone of the Nesivas Hashita. That you see there is this concept of a human being who sees something who isn't an aid. Why? Because he doesn't have the very basic qualifications of being an outsider, being an adult, whatever they may be. And if you have such a yesod by edus, you must have such a yesod, says the Nesivos, by dayanus as well. That someone who doesn't have a shame dayan. He's an amaretz. It's not that he's a pasul of dayan. It's not that he's a balgaiva, a pasul of dayan. He's an amaretz. He doesn't have a shame dayan to begin with. Okay, so these are some of the yesodos, some of the nekudos of dayanus. There are other things also. Tomorrow we'll move on to the different sugya.